We have now come to verse number 5 in our list of gospel verses. It's found in the book of the Acts, that's in your New Testament. It's found in Acts chapter 4, and it's at verse 12. Listen to what it says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Those words are part of a sermon preached by the Apostle Peter. And as you think of them, there are two things that I want you to think about in the verse. The opening sentence, neither is there salvation in any other. The last words, we must be saved. There is no salvation anywhere else other than in the person of the Lord Jesus. And it is essential. It is necessary. I want to take the four words at the end of the verse and ask you to consider them with me just as we speak together for a few minutes. We, you and me, we must, it's essential, we must be saved, it's certain, and we must be saved. That's the very nature of what salvation is, and that's what we're speaking about in relation to the gospel, the salvation or the rescue of your soul from eternal judgment. Coming back to the first of the four words, we must be saved. It's embracive. That takes in you, it takes in me, it takes in every person who has ever lived. We must be saved. Why is that? Well, the first verse that we dealt with in our list of 10 verses is Romans chapter 2 and verse 22 and verse 23, where it says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we must be saved. Because we have sinned, and we have fallen short, far short of God's glory. Isaiah says the same thing using different words. He says in chapter 53 and in verse 6, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. That is, just like sheep, we have rebelled against God, we have turned to our own way. That's why we must be saved, because we have gone astray. We must be saved because we have turned to our own way. It's embracive. We. Not only is it embracive, but it's imperative. We must be saved. It's not an optional extra in life. You know, salvation is not some kind of religious nicety. It's not just some personal preference. It's not some kind of theological idiosyncrasy. Salvation is something that is absolutely essential. Something that you must not miss. If you're ever going to be in heaven at the end of life, you need to be saved. The Bible is clear about that. And I would like you to consider that there are three things that you must avoid at all costs. You must avoid missing heaven at the end of life's journey. If you're not saved, you'll never be in heaven. Without salvation, you can never get to heaven. The Savior made that clear. He said in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's in verse 3. In verse 7, he goes on to say, marvel not, or don't be surprised that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It's an absolute essential. You must be saved. And if you're going to be in heaven, you're ever going to see heaven, you must be saved. Second thing that I would want you to avoid at all costs, and that is, avoid being left behind when the Lord comes. The Bible makes it clear that the next great event prophetically in this world is the coming again of the Lord Jesus. The Lord who was despised and rejected was nailed upon a tree, crowned with thorns, crucified. He ascended to heaven, but he ascended when he had made this promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The angels at the time of his ascension, they reiterated the same message. They said, this same Jesus shall so come. The Lord Jesus is coming back again. And when he comes, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain, that is, we who are in Christ. And the only way to be in Christ is to be saved. All those who are saved, they're going to be changed, and they're going to go home to heaven. All those who were saved when they died, they're going to be raised from the dead. There will be a mighty resurrection right across this whole world. Bodies will arise from the grave. And they too, with a changed body, miraculously changed by divine power, they'll be taken home to heaven. That will be a great event. Millions will be missing in a split second of time. But when that happens, that signals the end of the age of gospel preaching for you. For those who have heard the gospel and have refused it, that's the day of opportunity for them over. That's another reason why we must be saved when the Lord comes. For you it will be too late. Third reason why we must be saved, and something that I want you to avoid at all costs, is ending up in hell and eternal judgment at the end of life. The book of the Revelation is clear about this. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 gives us in very clear language the end of those who die without salvation. It says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Three reasons why we must be saved. So that you'll not miss heaven at the end of life. So that you'll not be left behind when the Lord comes. So that you'll not end up in hell and eternally the lake of fire as you do. We must be saved. Not only is it embracive and imperative, but it is certain. Salvation is nothing woolly, nothing fuzzy about it. It's absolutely real. It's actual faith in an actual Savior who gives actual salvation is a real certainty. Listen to the words of the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. A very well-known verse to many people who have heard it and read the Bible. It says in very clear, crystal clear language, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Notice the certainty of it. Nothing ambiguous about it. Should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 again, verse 36, the last verse of the chapter, reiterates the same thing. There it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That is, the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus for the salvation of your soul, you have everlasting life. It is a rock solid certainty. We must be saved. Notice, Peter didn't say we must be baptized. He didn't say we must be religious. He didn't say we must do good deeds of a certain kind. He didn't even say we must read the Bible and say our prayers. Those things do not grant salvation. He said we must be saved. Saved is a word that some folks don't like. Maybe it has a ring of certainty about it that they find threatening or intimidating. But for a person who is saved, it has a ring of certainty that thrills their soul to know that they've been rescued from danger, delivered from coming wrath, absolutely sure of heaven. That's what it means to be saved. Remember again, there is salvation, it's possible, but it's in no one other than Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's verse 12. Who is this person in whom there is salvation? The earlier verses of the chapter tell us it is Christ who was crucified, raised again from the dead. There's salvation on him, but in no one else. That means there's no salvation in a religion of man's devising. No salvation in a scheme of man's devising. Salvation is found alone in Christ. Don't miss it. Because if you do, you're missing the greatest blessing that you could ever have. You're missing that which will bring true happiness, real peace in life now, and true blessing in eternity to come.